I'm thankful, you know, as we're talking about how to be prayerful and practical things to do in our life, it's, for me, it's just talk to him. Just talk to him. And it might be awkward at first, but that's okay. It's only awkward for you, but it's not awkward for him. And as you get to know him and spend time with him, and I know some of the common things I hear people say is like, well, how do you know it's him talking to you or whatnot? And I cling to that scripture where it says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And especially, and I like to caution too, because our emotions are not the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that is a hard one, especially you were talking about like some postpartum and when you're pregnant and it's like all those things. So it's like, you know, Lord, give me discernment to know if this is just my emotions or if this is your spirit.
Welcome to The Well. This podcast focuses on applying the Bible to our everyday lives, discussing real life issues from a Christian perspective, and encouraging women to walk in faith. As Jesus followers, we have all experienced the freedom that comes with choosing to follow him, and we want to be a part of your journey to living a life rooted in Christ. This podcast is sponsored by Costello's Butcher Shop, recently voted best locally owned retail store in the Gulf Coast. Y'all, they have everything. Your Wagyu steaks, a deli, fine cheeses, fine wines, desserts, just all the amazing things. They're located at 8190 West Fairfield Drive in Pensacola, Florida. And don't forget about their free lunch program through the KTF. 7 days a week, a child can walk in to Costello's and get themselves a sack lunch and fill their bellies. I think Christy said they've almost beat 100,000. That's amazing. All right, so go in, say hi, let them know Truth Rising sent you, and don't miss out. You will be so glad you did.
Hey, everybody. We are so excited to be kicking off the year 2023. We have been doing 31 ways to grow on our social media, and our team has come together to just throw out some ideas of how we can help and encourage other women to grow closer to Jesus and grow in their walk with him this year. And we wanted to dive deeper into a couple of those topics. And so Leah and I are actually here today. We are going to be sharing about our prayer journeys, our journeys to having prayerful days. And so Leah, if you just want to say hi, let everybody know that you're there.
Hi, I'm here.
All right.
I'm still getting used to this. Yeah, I'm here. You can't see me, but you can hear me.
I know. I'm like, okay, now how do I awkwardly transition into letting everyone know that she is also here before we jump in? I'm excited.
Yeah.
Prayer is such a fun and confusing topic.
Absolutely.
I'm always just like, I don't even understand prayer.
And I'm always amazed at like how prayer, like the definition of it, like it gets so technical, and like I feel like we make it more complicated than what it is. And then I love like when coming into these conversations of just listening and hearing, what does prayer look like or what does it mean, and just hearing different thoughts. And then I like to turn around and ask like a 7-year-old, what do you think prayer is? And it's like, oh, that simplifies it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's so great. That's so great. And that's kind of a little bit of your journey that you wanted to share, correct? Is kind of how you went from it being this very technical type of thing that you did in your life, and kind of here's the bullet points of prayer, to where it's more of an organic and natural conversation. So why don't you go ahead and kick us off a little bit? What kind of was there a catalyst or something to kind of that you can pinpoint to where it was like, okay, something needs to change?
Yeah, I would say, there's so much, because I grew up in the church, if you will. Like, my parents are both Christian. And so there's a lot of stuff that I think that I naturally take for granted in processing it. Mm-hmm. But I would say the most pivotal point for me would probably be when I was 16. And that's not to say that I didn't pray and I didn't have a more organic process, but I just remember I was at a store with a friend and we were talking, and he was sharing with me, saying, you know, Leah, the biggest thing that impacted my life, because we had similar backgrounds, was when I realized that God was really real, like, you know, like really, really real, like he's personal and he's just present and he's there. Like, it's not just, this formal perspective of like, you think of those movies like the Ten Commandments, where it's like, well, saith the Lord thy God, you know, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And like, he most certainly is that.
Yeah.
But I think it was getting to this concept of like, when God spoke to Abraham, when God spoke to Moses, the Bible says he spoke to him as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he presented that to me when I was 16, I remember I was like, wow, I never really thought about that. So I remember I was driving home and I was in my little 97 Honda Civic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Total Asian vibe. Loving it. You know, too fast, too furious.
Oh, yeah. We need the pictures.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm driving and I was like, oh, okay. So I can just talk to you, God. Okay. This is cool. Like, well, how does this work? And I remember I tell people this is like my first legit conversation with God. And I remember saying, well, God, hey, how's it going? Well, I guess that's kind of pointless because you're pretty much perfect, right? So
it's good. It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, well, let me tell you about how I'm doing. Like, awkward. But like, that was just the start of where for me, it kind of clicked. Not so much that I could play around with this, but the fact that, and I like to visualize it with that scripture in Hebrews where it says we can come boldly into the throne room of grace. Mm-hmm. And I definitely don't want to take away from the holiness of God, the sacredness, and just, you know, I think the Holy of Holies. But then my heart jumps when I think about that veil being ripped up and how I can boldly just come into the throne room of grace like a little kid and just... Sometimes you know, for different things in our life, we come in and we're kind of scared. But for me, it's, I can rush in with all my excitement, all my zeal, all my frustration or anger, and just like, hey, Dad, you won't believe what my husband said to me today. Or like, oh my goodness, my teacher, this or that. And so that is helped me just kind of move from this space of the formality of things and just be able to just legit just sit and play and talk to him no matter what I was doing. And that's created a picture in my mind when I talk with him throughout the day. And sometimes it does look like a formal, all right, let's have a cup of tea here. And sometimes it's just whatever it is I'm doing. So that's kind of what comes to my mind as far as pivotal moments.
Yeah. And I think that picture of the father is such a good just balancing act of that, like, you are holy and I respect you, but also like we have a very deep, intimate relationship where I can come to you and you want me to come to you and share these things. So I think that that's a beautiful picture of, okay, like I do respect you. And you are an authority in my life. And I mean, it goes so much more than our earthly fathers. Like he, like you said, Holy of Holies, God Almighty, but also God Almighty and the Holy of Holies invites us to come in. And he wants us to bring him our issues and our wants, our desires, our praises, all these things, because he is so heavily invested in our life. Just like our fathers are. And so I think that that's such a good picture of like, he is real and he does want, he wants to know the crazy thing that your husband said to you.
Absolutely. And it's like, it's not like he doesn't know. So it's, I think it's for me, it was breaking down, like that pivotal moment was breaking down a lot of misconceptions that were either taught or presented, whether intentionally or unintentionally, within the church or just other people, when it was just so dogmatic of like, make sure you have your prayer time. And I mean, how would I feel in a personal relationship with someone that was like, this is the only time that you can laugh with me and sit with me? And like, life is just not that way.
Yeah.
So that's something that I'm passionate about of the, like, I like the word organic because it really is that. And with God, there's no, you can't talk to me right now because he's omnipresent. So I think of it as more of just turning to him in the room. Like he's already in my room.
Yeah.
Or in my thoughts or in my heart. He's already there.
Yeah. Yeah. The spirit is indwelling with me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think too, it really just goes to show the church understands the importance of prayer, but like we have to get out of this like checklist Christianity. Did you pray today? You know, check it off the list. I know quite a few. I grew up in the South. I grew up in Georgia. And so I knew so many people who prayed before every meal, but it's like, let's look at the fruit of your life. That's the only time you're talking to God and you're blessing the fried chicken and it ain't going to do anything good.
And all this butter. Yeah, absolutely. Not that you can't. It just, it takes away.
You wouldn't want that in any other type of relationship right. where it's like, you know, your husband, okay, I gave her a hug, goodbye, check.
Absolutely.
Okay, I sent her a text, check. You want that organic desire from the other person to want to speak with you, to want to spend right. time with you. Yeah.
So I think it's like, yeah, cultivating that. I think mm-hmm. like, for example, my daughter has a tendency to be shy and she's 7. So she's learning how to meet and greet people, you know, look at people in the eye, depending upon what culture you come from, you mm-hmm. know? and so I'm encouraging her to just, hey, just go and ask and say, hey, my name is, and what's your name? And let's go play. And I think sometimes it's getting over that hump in your mm-hmm. relationship with the Lord of like, you can't hide anything from him. Nothing you say is going to surprise him. And even if you don't know what to say or to say, he already knows that. And he's going to actually, I love that scripture where it talks about the Holy Spirit makes intercession and translates things. So even, and this is something that for me personally has really freed me a lot mm-hmm. when I pray, is even when I'm coming from a place of where I'm super angry and I'm complaining and I'm just raw, it's awesome because I know from his word that he translates all of that in a way to the Father that is specific to what I specifically need. Mm-hmm. And in that process, I start hearing and I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Well, you have this, God? Like, for real, you got it? Yes, Leah, I've got it. Like, oh, okay. So you mean I don't have, Nope, I got it. That's why I died. Oh, okay, cool. Good talk. Good game.
Yep, oh, yeah. I love that. That's so good that it's, yeah, just like this, you just have this ball of human emotions and the Spirit just untangles it. And he's like, okay. And then just gives you this beautiful answer from the Father. And you're okay.
Yeah.
And we can chill out now.
Right. And I think sometimes when we pray, I think sometimes we're expecting some profound, moment. Mm-hmm. And I think of it like being a mom now. I'm only 8 years old as a mom because my oldest is 7 and I had a miscarriage before her. So I like to count that. So that's 8 years old as a mom. Yeah. And so sometimes like when my children are having like a huge fit or whatever, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? And then I start thinking about my day. I was like, oh, she's just tired. She just needs to take a nap.
Yeah.
And I feel like God sometimes is that way with us. Like we come, we're so frustrated and upset. And then like I say everything and then his Spirit says, do you feel better now? Why don't you go take a nap, Leah? Like an actual physical nap. And I'm like, oh, so it wasn't like a crazy spiritual
demonic attack.
Yeah. No, Leah, you were just tired.
You only drank coffee today. Yeah, like go eat a snack.
Yes. Shouldn't have had that can of Red Bull. And that's what I think those moments also create such intimacy in our walks with the Lord, because he really is. That's what it means when he left heaven and dwelt and walked amongst us. And he knows exactly what we're going through. And we don't have to be embarrassed about it. And I just love the picture of that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. You know, there's that verse that talks about children are a blessing. And I honestly think that that's one of the biggest things I've learned now. I'm only almost 4 years into being a mom. And so, yeah, I'm like still a toddler mom. How much I've learned about like the dynamic between like me and God from me and my son. And I'm like, that to me is just such a blessing because I see it just through a fresh perspective. And like, he shows me so much about how I am to God. So yeah, I love that you talked about, just the clarity that God has on our life and just how we kind of have that clarity with our kids. Sometimes I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, teething, like, what are we doing right now?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Most of the time, it's go to sleep.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And my journey kind of with prayer, I started going to church when I was in elementary school. My parents weren't saved yet. My mom got saved a few years later. I want to say maybe when I was in middle school. I definitely relied heavily on the church to teach me, you know, how to live the Christian life. And they did a very good job in some aspects. And not that no one ever told me to pray or anything like that, but it was just, I don't know, it's very strange. It wasn't a huge part of my life for a long time. I was very open to hearing God. Like, I could clearly hear God telling me things sometimes. And like, I remember once I was at a store. I was probably 17 or 18. I was at a store. I think it was like Dollar General around Christmas. And I was looking at Christmas things. And there was an Indian woman. And I just felt the spirit like, you need to ask her what Christmas, if she knows what Christmas is. And I was just like, she knows what Christmas is. It's Christmas.
This is really inconvenient. I'm shopping, Jesus.
I'm like, she's going to be like, you weirdo. Of course I know what Christmas is. And I asked her and she really didn't know. And I had an opportunity to share the gospel with her. So that was kind of my experience. I mean, I remember a few distinct moments of like very deep prayer and things like that. But it wasn't, I wouldn't say it was like a very strong thread through my spiritual walk when I was younger. And I left the church for a while, probably about 8 years. That's a whole nother podcast. I'm actually editing that one. Like, legit, there's actually another podcast coming out about it. But I left the church for a while. And when I came back in 2020, that was another clear, like, okay, I heard God. It was so funny because my husband was deployed and it was just me and my little one. He was around one at that point, and COVID had just shut the country down. And I remember seeing all of these friends. I even went to like a Christian college, and all of my friends from college and all of my, you know, friends from church growing up, they were all talking about how sad they were that they weren't going to Easter or they weren't going to church on Easter. And I was like, my son's never been to church. I was like, weird. I was struggling with postpartum anxiety and probably borderline depression during that time. And I even remember talking to my therapist and like, church was such a huge part of my life growing up. And now it's just not a part of it anymore. And she was like, oh, or how do you feel about that? And I was like, I don't know.
How does that make you feel?
How does that make you feel? That'll be $100.
And how does that make you feel?
Yeah, bad.
Pray about it.
Right. And then, so I was kind of just like going through this really weird internal struggle of like, wow, that's weird. I haven't been to church for Easter in a long time. And I just clearly heard the spirit being like, it's time. It's time to go back.
I love that.
That's go so back good. To church. Okay. I was in church. I wasn't in church because it was the pandemic, like the beginning. This is like, April of 2020. And so, but that Sunday I was online. I was online watching church. And so kind of as I'm diving back into, I'm having my spiritual reawakening, revival, I was just like, man, I really want to do this right. I really want prayer to be a big part of my life. And so I was like, okay, how do I do that? You know, like, what do I do to get to that point where prayer is a part of my spiritual life? And so I joined the prayer team at the church. They have every week, like throughout the week, people can send in prayer requests to the church, and the pastor would send out a few prayer requests as well, you know, just to be praying over him, over the team, over just the church in general, things that were coming up that God was laying on his heart to be prayed for. And they would send it out in a weekly email. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll do this. I'll join the prayer team. One week, the lady who ran the prayer team, she sent out the Bible verse that said, where two or more are gathered, God is with them. And she was like, try to pray with other people. Hey, I actually would love to do that. Can you connect me with other people from the prayer team.
Yeah.
So that we can get together and pray over these prayer requests. She was like, yeah, of course I can do that.
Who are you? You're such an alien. We're Christians. Nobody ever asks for that.
I know. I'm definitely a weirdo for Jesus. I've found that out, been confirmed a few times. Was just confirmed the other day, you know.
What, you actually believe in a God that hears you? Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And I was just like, I want to learn how to pray. I want to do that. I want to be, and I'm like, I'm assuming that the other people on the prayer team are some prayer warriors, and that's who I want to be learning from. Mm-hmm. And so she connected me with one lady, Judy. Oh, I love Judy. I miss her so much. Judy, if you're listening to this, I miss you. Come visit me in Florida. And so we started meeting every Wednesday morning, and Judy is so proper, and she's a little bit older. She has kids my age, and growing up in the South, you know, if someone comes to your house, you have food for them. And I remember I like had all this food, and okay, Leah, you need to get on it. Maybe, I don't know. I also have the gift of hospitality. So maybe that's just me, but I'm like, I have food, I have coffee. And she's just like, I'll just have some water. Okay.
Right.
And so we would start praying, and it was so good. And at first, you know, we would maybe be together for 30 minutes, an hour. And then two other ladies joined us. And it's funny because they say they weren't on the prayer team, but the lady who was the leader of the prayer team was in their small group. And they always joke that she forced them to go join me and Judy to pray. And the other two ladies, they had kids close to the same age as my son. And so it turned into we like to call it pray and play. And so it was like a play group. The boys would be playing, cool. And the moms would be eating the food that I had and drinking the coffee. And we started asking each other what we needed prayer for. Mm. And I kid you not, by the time I left Hawaii, two other moms joined. So we had six women and seven kids. We would be together typically about 3 hours every Wednesday. We wouldn't be praying the whole time.
not formally.
Not formally. Just so much fellowship. And it was awesome too, because Judy used to be a teacher. And so It was so funny because all the moms would look around and we'd be like, where are the kids? And Judy's got them up in my playroom and she's reading them a book, and they're all sitting and they're all listening and they're all behaving. And we're just like, oh my gosh, you're like, yeah,
she's
an angel.
A
pray
woman. Yeah. She
slayed him in the spirit before we went in.
I love that.
And it was just, oh my goodness. That was one of the most life-giving groups though that I've ever been a part of, just because, I mean, every single week we got together and we intentionally prayed for one another. You know, we followed up with one another. And we were praying for our church together. We were praying for people who were really hurting. We were praying for each other when we were really hurting, you know, and we really became each other's support systems, you know.
I love that.
One of the girls had a baby, and Judy went over and took care of her other child when she was in the hospital having the baby. And Judy took care of my son quite a few times, and probably all of them took care of my son at some point for me. And it was so amazing how growing that relationship with God really grew my relationship with others as well. And just what that can do, intentionally praying for people, how that can just grow your relationship with them.
Absolutely. I think that's something that's definitely, you know, for me growing up in the church, and, you know, like I said, the formal and the informal, and I don't think it's a competition between the two, but it's the biggest, I don't want to say the biggest impact either, because it's not a competition, but things that stick out to me personally was those moments in my life when I'm like legit struggling or whatnot. And just, I remember just people that like, they would just, it was just so natural. Let's just pray about it. Like, let's go talk to the Lord. Or they didn't even say the words, let's just pray about it. Or pray. I feel like the cliche, you know, stereotypes exist for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes even just the concept when we say the word prayer, I think is a good way to kind of self-evaluate where you are. Like when you hear the word prayer, when someone says, let's pray about something or praying for you, what initially goes through your mind? And start answering that to really examine where you are in your prayer life or your thoughts. And then the, whatever surfaces from that, take that to the Lord and say, Lord, when so-and-so said they were praying for me, that really bothered me. Like, I don't want them all up in my business. Like, you know, it, or sometimes like, are they just trying to be nosy when they're asking me for a prayer request? And like, and it makes, it throws shade on it.
Yeah.
But, it, but there are people though in my life where they have come to me and I may have shared things or I may have not shared things. And I think of it as just this visual representation of someone grabbing my hand and saying, you know, I don't have everything that you need. You know, I'm broke in one form or another, but let me take you to somebody who does. No, seriously, seriously, look at him. Like, he's so cool. I'm like, our Heavenly Father, he's got this. He's right here. It's like, in my mind, I think of, oh, I wish I could remember the exact chapter in Revelations where it describes the throne room of heaven and talks about like the great throne and the sea, the jade and all the, and then like the angels and the elders that are sitting around his throne. And I think of like the angels that are constantly going in and out. And whenever we go to prayer, when we pray, we're literally stepping into that space. Mm-hmm. When we're praying with someone, we're literally bringing that person into that space. And sometimes in praying for other people, like we can't, they can't see what's going on around them. Sometimes there are times in my life where I can't even see that. And I'm so thankful for, I think of like Sully, like so many times she would literally drag me or carry my just faintly beating heart into the throne room and just saying, here, Jesus, here she is. Open up her eyes so that she can see herself as you see her. And I think about that when people like Judy, the Judys in your life, or that, they just model that. And that's how they taught. It wasn't necessarily this structured, because I've heard stuff, you know, the first thing is adoration and the second thing is confession and then Thanksgiving. And those things are great. Like, I'm not knocking that has its place, but it starts coming to an organic space of just, this is my Father and I'm sharing with him and just trying to, for me, my passion is sharing now is taking away the stigmas of it and whether it's formal or informal. So I love hearing you sharing that because it's like, oh yeah, that's what impacted me. Like just recognizing, I knew a lady, she talked about her mom. She had a wooden chair in her kitchen and it was like this horrible, ugly looking like school chair. And somebody wanted to move it. She said, no, that's where Jesus sits. And when I cook and whenever I just talk to Jesus and I was just like, oh, that's a really cool thought. Like,
yeah. I like that. Just making room for Jesus.
Absolutely. Or going on a date with him or something.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny that you talked about that chapter in Revelations. I don't know which one it is either. And I might be totally off, but it's just a really cool prayer story. And so I'm going to go with it. But so there's also rainbows around God in that chapter. I'm pretty sure. 85% yes. Sure.
I'm told. Oh, I found it.
Okay.
You want me to read it right quick?
Do it.
It's KJV. So sorry for that.
Oh, Lord.
We can get through this. We can get through this. That should tell you a little bit about my religious background, although I'm not like adamant only KJV, but okay. All right. He says, and immediately I was in spirit and behold, a throne was set in heaven and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne and a sight like unto an emerald. And round about that throne were 24 seats. That would be 24. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment and had on their heads crowns of gold. And then it just goes on. And that's Revelations 4 if you wants to look it up. And it goes and says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices that were seven lamps of fire burning. And it goes on. So for me, when I think about going into the throne room, like it's this visualization of like, but when I'm there, it's almost like I can hear Jesus like stop and say, shh, everybody, Leah's here. She's got something to share. Oh, she drew me a picture. Oh, she's mad. Okay. All right. What happened? All right. Now, what did you say, Leah? You know, and I love that. And tying that with Hebrews, when we can come boldly into the throne room. And I'm thankful, you know, as we're talking about how to be prayerful and practical things to do in our life. It's for me, it's just talk to him. Just talk to him. And it might be awkward at first, but that's okay. It's only awkward for you, but it's not awkward for him. And as you get to know him and spend time with him, and I know some of the common things I hear people say is like, well, how do you know it's him talking to you or whatnot? And I cling to that scripture where it says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And especially, and I like to caution too, because our emotions are not the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that is a hard one, especially you were talking about like some postpartum and when you're pregnant and it's like all those things. So it's like, you know, Lord, give me discernment to know if this is just my emotions or if this is your spirit. And he says, my sheep know my voice. And he's not, I love in the Psalms, we were talking before we got on here about in the Psalms and Psalms 119. And I love how as I'm reading through it and the psalmist is just basically like, God caused me to understand, God teach me, God help me. And I love that because it puts all the responsibility on him. Mm-hmm. And he's good at that. So with our prayer, just talking to him about everything. So I love that and how that's modeled. We learning through what's been modeled for us.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, you know, you talk about his sheep will know his voice. And the Bible also tells us to test every spirit.
Absolutely.
And so that's where you have to get that discernment and you have to get that wisdom from reading the Bible. You know, that the Bible is God's voice to us. And so when we read it and we commit it to memory and, you know, we organically go through it, not just checking it off the checklist, but where we actually go to meet God to know more about him, that's going to be such a game changer for being able to know his voice. Because you're going to be like, wait, this is not lining up with scripture, or this is clearly lining up with scripture.
Right.
You know, and the rainbow, I did look it up. It is in Revelation 4 as well. So, talking about it, we were in the same scripture. 2020 again, July, my son is having eye surgery. Mm-hmm. And again, my husband's gone. We live in the middle of the Pacific Ocean at this time. No family around. All the fun stuff. Hawaii was crazy, probably like in some weird lockdown. And so I don't know if at this point, if I'm off the postpartum anxiety train or not. I don't remember when I got off that train. thankfully, I did. It tries to sneak up every once in a while now, but thankfully for the most part, I don't have to struggle with it too often. And usually it's when those dang emotions, when I let them kind of creep in and start building up and building up and building up. And then all of a sudden, like, why am I having a panic attack? It's like, oh yeah. And so you can imagine my 1.5-year-old is about to have surgery and I'm a crazy person because I'm walking through it alone. I mean, I have support from my church and stuff like that, but you know, I'm doing it alone. Not really, but it feels that way.
Absolutely.
Again, that's how your emotions, because it's like, I look back now and I was like, I wasn't alone. Yeah, sure. My husband wasn't there. My family wasn't there, but I was by no means alone.
That's the cliche where you say it was then my child when I carried you. Those of you know the footprints on the sand poem. Yes.
And I remember, again, weirdo for Jesus. Sometimes I was praying and I was just like, God, I'm so anxious about this. I'm so anxious about this. And my eyes are closed. And I clearly see this vision of the darkness being pushed out, like this light pushing out the darkness. And I just continue to pray, you know, like, God, give me peace, give me peace, give me peace. And the darkness got completely pushed out and the peace just washed over me. It was just like an exhale, like, okay,
that's awesome.
He's going to be okay. You're taking care of him. I don't need to worry. And it was so cool. That was, I don't even know how long before the surgery that was. It might have been a few weeks. It might have been a week before. It was probably like a weekish before. And the night before his surgery, I am pushing him around the stroller. We did a lot of walking during 2020. And he had fallen asleep in his stroller. And for some reason, I decided to take a picture of him. I'll have to send you the picture. And I take the picture of him and I look at the picture and there is a rainbow around his face.
That's so cool.
Tiffany calls them God winks. It was just like a God wink where he was like, remember that piece that I gave you a couple weeks ago or a week ago? It's still there. I still got you. It was just like this last little, just like such a beautiful gift to me. Because, I mean, a rainbow is a symbol of God's promise and him keeping his promises. I was just like, are you serious? Like, you, what a gift. And it was just, he really cares about us and he really sees us and he gives us, he gave me peace and I already had peace. And at that moment, I wasn't worried, but he just gave me that little, you know, shoulder hug of confirmation of it's okay. Remember, I got him. Remember tomorrow morning, he's in my hands. I got him. Don't worry about it. And it was just so cool. And so it's funny that she brought up the exact same chapter because I remember reading that chapter that night because then I got to share about it with some friends who weren't Christians. I was just like, look at this and like read this from the Bible.
And, absolutely.
It was just so cool that she brought up that chapter. And that was such a huge, very raw moment and intimate moment of prayer between me and God was just me begging him. I need peace. I need it. Like, I need to know that you're going to take care of my baby. And he was like,
yeah.
And he answered it.
It reminds me of Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And he doesn't let him go until he says, until you bless me, I'm not going to let go. And I think just because we're on the topic and we're sharing that, I think it's also important to recognize that the peace of God doesn't necessarily mean we get what we think would bring us peace.
Yeah.
And in those moments when we're praying for, something to happen that we don't know, I think of like often, you know, big critical moments like surgeries or life death moments or sicknesses or maybe a job promotion or just different harder situations as we understand them to be. And the answer, when we get the answers or the turnout isn't so much what we had prayed for, or so we thought. And even in those moments, God's peace is still there. Like he is so present that the situation at hand does not compare to that. And that's a hard space. That is a really hard space to be in. And it's one of those spaces that I try to be careful about sharing that when I'm meeting other people that are in that hard space. Because I think that's something as believers and as Christian women and encouraging, when you're trying to encourage other people, we need to be very considerate of where someone is in their struggle. And just because a person may not want to pray with you, or they may be saying, well, I don't want to, doesn't mean that God still can't work or God isn't still working, just holding that space. And I think that's important too. I think that's where statements when people are like, well, they just shove prayer down my throat, or they just, you know, you don't always have to tell somebody that you're praying for them. True story. And sometimes you should, because that's if God prompts you to tell someone that they've been on your heart. But I think it's important to consider that too, of when you were sharing and talking with others about praying for other people, why is it that we tell other people that we're praying for them? Is it because that's what God has led you to tell them so that they know that they have that? Or is it just so that it's more of your anxiety or fear or whatever? And if it's coming from that, then it's not coming from the Lord. That's your emotions again. And I just remember I was in a situation and I knew, even though it was past the point, like looking back, I was like, dude, it's totally past that point. But I remember in the human frame of thought, but in my spirit, I was like, but no, God, you can turn this around. Like, you are legit. Like, God, do you remember? You parted the Red Sea. You did that. Do you remember? Like, you literally, you know, spoke the world, you know, it was what's the fancy term, ex nihilo, like out of nothing, the world came into mm-hmm. existence. So I know that in this situation, you can totally turn this around. And I was sitting there and I was in the emergency room and I was dealing with my first child's miscarriage. And when I walked in there, there were like four other women going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it was so discouraging. And I was just like, and I didn't know what was going on. I knew God could turn it around, but it was a lot. And immediately in that moment, God put in my heart Psalm 46, when it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And then it goes on. And I just remember in that space of like prayer in verse 5, it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. And I think of that as like mama hearts. I think you and I, we were talking about that a couple weeks ago about our mommy hearts and praying. And it's a good space for us to be reminded that God has our children.
Mm-hmm.
To be reminded that God loves them more than we can ever love them. And so when we pray, I think it gives us this space to remember that and to rest in him. So it's not a magical thing. It's just, okay, all right, you've got this, God. Okay, all right. And yeah, this just thoughts that were coming to me as you were sharing.
Yeah, I love to think of prayer because, and this is what I don't understand about prayer is, okay, it's nothing that I'm doing. It's just God letting me be of what so he's good. Doing. And so I think that is the beauty of prayer is it's just us talking. Again, it's,
absolutely,
we're not doing anything, but what we're doing is we're bringing the impossible to the God who makes all things possible.
Absolutely.
And so that's, I think, just one of the coolest things about prayer. Again, it's not me doing anything
mm-hmm.
except for submitting
it's
to
more
God.
About God meeting your needs through that.
Yes. Yes. Like, okay, let me tell you that it's just such a crazy story. We're just going to share, we're just going to rename this. This isn't even journeys about prayer. This is just crazy stories about prayer.
This
okay.
is prayer.
So, I recently joined a new church and there was this woman that I was very drawn to. Like the first time that I went into the church, she was across the sanctuary from me. She's pregnant. And I don't know, there was just something about her that I was just like, I just felt very drawn to her.
Yeah.
And then I went to go pick up my son from nursery and they were like, oh, he's doing great. And I was like, oh, can I go check out a small group then? This is the first time I'm at the church. And she's like, yeah.
Cash out on that moment. Cash out on that moment.
I was like, I'm going to go get breakfast. I'll be back. Like,
yeah. See you about 17 years.
Yes. Yeah. And so I was like, well, can I go check out a small group? And she's like, yeah, I'll check them in. And like, what kind of small group? And so she ended up helping me find one. And she was like, oh, that's led by the worship pastor and his wife, the pregnant woman. So I'm like, what? Okay. And so I go in, you know, I actually talked to her quite a bit. We exchanged numbers. And I probably was coming on a little too strong for a little while. You know, I kept telling her, I was like, hey, I'm praying for you. It was a pretty rough pregnancy. And I was just, you know, so I kept checking in on her, just like, hey, you know, I'm praying for you and stuff. A few weeks ago, I checked in on her and because they had found out some like possibly bad news, like she was going to have to be getting some testing done. She was maybe 2 weeks out from her due date. And mm-hmm. there was some stuff that wasn't looking super great. And so I prayed with her that Sunday. And then I checked in with her. And my husband was on swing shift that day, which is not normal. So he was working like afternoon into the late evening. And so I was kind of like, okay, he's not going to be home. And so she was having a rough day and I was like, hey, you can come over if you want. And she was like, oh, I got some stuff to do. And I was like, okay, okay. And I was like, can I bring you dinner? Again, coming on very strong. There was just like, there was this urgency of like, I needed to see her that day. There was just like, there was not emotional thing. It was just like, I need to see her today. And so at first, of course, she said no. Well, not like, no, you can't. But she's like, no, it's okay. Like, we have stuff. And I was like, listen, I'm just going to make you pasta. I'm just going to boil some water and I'm going to heat up some sauce. Like, that's it. It's literally not adding any problem to my day. She was like, okay, yeah, sure. That would be great. And so I bowl the pasta. Yeah. And seriously, you guys always keep a can of pasta sauce and a box of pasta because it's the fastest, easiest way to go bless somebody. Your friend having a hard time. All right, I'm bringing you some dinner. And they tell you, it's only pasta. Like, I'm not making you like some fancy from scratch meal. I'm literally like boiling some water. That's it. If you want to be fancy, keep some ground beef in the freezer. If you really want to get crazy. And so I bring it and I jumped out of the car so fast to get my son out because I was like, if we go to the door, she'll invite us in. And it was so funny. She came out and she was like, oh, I was just going to come grab it so that you didn't have to get him out and stuff. And I was like, oh, no, it's okay. And so she's like, oh, do you want to come in? I'm like, yep. That's what I was counting on. And so we're hanging out and I still have a prayer group Wednesday mornings. It's here in Florida now with a whole new group of women. And so I had been inviting her, but stuff was always coming up. And so she was like, well, hopefully I'll see you Wednesday this week if this baby doesn't come. And I touch her belly and I say, you can come tonight. And then when I leave and I'm driving home, I'm praying, God, please just help her. Just let her have this baby. It's really rough right now on her. After she I put my son to bed, she texts me and she said, my water broke after you left.
That's amazing. That's
awesome. We put their older son down to sleep and we're going to the hospital. They had the baby the next morning.
That's awesome.
And I was just like, what? I was like, are you serious? And the funny thing is I didn't do anything, but I knew that I needed to be in relationship with this woman. And I knew that it needed to move quickly.
Like
You know, we're military. We don't have decades time for to all build the friendships. It's like, no, like you're my best friend.
Right.
We're the same age.
We like the same chips. Yeah,
exactly. want to watch my kid for me because I don't have grandparents in jail.
I love that.
And so it was just so funny because I didn't do anything. I couldn't make anyone have a baby, but God knew that like we needed our friendship to speed up. And I got to be a part of what God did for her.
Absolutely.
You've had kids, you know, you don't text everybody that you're going to the hospital.
No, my circle of people are like, did she have a baby yet? Yeah, like 4 years ago. I don't think Facebook knows I've had a third baby. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, surprise.
How many kids does she have?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was just like, you don't text just anybody that your water broke and you're on your way to the hospital. I was like, we're friends now. We're good friends.
I wanted to say this. I hope Tiffany's going to hear this one. So Tiffany asked me a while back, and we were with like a group of girls. We're like, what's your love language? And she actually did a podcast with Gary Chapman. And I asked her to ask him for mine. Cause like I had the hardest time answering that question. And I'm at a place where I like to tell people that my love language is prayer and not so much like, please don't just like start sending me like random stuff and like coming and like touching me and all this other stuff. But to me, it's like, it's one of the most intimate, sacred opportunities/privileges that we have as believers, as a family. Like we have an amazing God. We get to go to his house and eat at his table. Mm-hmm. We get to dance and play in his throne room. We even get to bicker in there, like, you know, and fight over toys and who's got a bigger blessing and who got, you know, a bigger piece of bread or whatnot, you know, for who's forgiven much loves much. And we get that opportunity. And I think that so many times, you know, life happens when we struggle, we forget that and we miss that. And when God puts that pulling in our hearts to go to a brother and sister in Christ, it's amazing. It's beautiful. And it is, like you said, it's a good way. It's not like the magic tool of like, you're going to pray somebody magically, you're going to be best friends. You might mm-hmm. weird somebody out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, but it's such an intimate space. And I feel like, I was actually talking to my sister-in-law not too long ago about this. And I feel like sometimes prayer gets treated on two extremes, like almost too casual. And then sometimes almost too like untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how do we meet in the middle of recognizing how intimate that is, like a beautiful friendship? And I think because we lack that so much and what we're searching so much for, it's hard to really be in that space of where we could just unapologetically, just as we're talking, and Jesus, did you hear what so-and-so said? Just inviting him into the conversation, because mm-hmm. he is here. Like, you know, even as we're recording this, I'm like, oh, you know, just kind of like, where are you sitting, Jesus? Like,
yeah. And I'm like, shoot, there's no chair in here.
Yeah. Is he just, and sometimes like in moments like these in my brain, it's like this vivid representation. I just think of as a mom, when I watch my children playing and I just sit and watch them, and that's what he does. And when we pray, it's basically like we're turning our head and saying, hey, you know, Lord, look at this picture. Or when I struggled in high school, I really struggled with this one particular class a lot. And I remember just thinking, wait a minute, didn't you create all this? So that means you understand this, mm-hmm. right? And I started just praying through my homework. Like, I'm going to read this. I don't understand what I'm reading at all, but Lord, I'm doing the best that I can. So that's that. And somehow I got a B in the class. Don't ask me how.
Prayer. That's how.
Yeah. I was like, some way, somehow. And I love just breaking it. We can be so stiff when it comes to spiritual things, be it prayer or reading the word of God, like God's word, prayer, it's going to do. Well, he's him. It's just, I think of it as you said, what is prayer? Like the mystery of it. In my mind, I was like, prayer is just a form of bowing down.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is, I think. And like, that's what's the vision in my head.
Yeah. I think it's coming to the end of your rope and really realizing that there's nothing that you can do.
Absolutely.
There's nothing. Another story. No, this is why you need prayer in your life, so you can have these crazy stories.
Absolutely. So you can recognize that it ain't all about you.
Yes.
But you are so loved.
Yes. Yeah. So again, join a new church. I joined that small group with the pregnant woman. She's not pregnant anymore with the new mama. And this is, it's just so crazy how God is so good and he's working so many things out. And I just don't understand how he can be so intentional in my life. And he's also so intentional in yours. And he's also so intentional in every single person's life. And he somehow brings us all together where we're supposed to be. So I joined this new church. He made it super clear, this is where I need to be. I joined this small group. He made it super clear, that's where I was supposed to be. Well, my son is struggling with obstructive sleep apnea. We just got the test results back. And so his pediatrician said, you guys need to go see an ENT. He was already seeing an ENT. He couldn't get us in until February. Mm-hmm. And this was a couple weeks ago when we started going through. So this is beginning of December. Y'all, I haven't slept in like 4 years. He's almost four. I can count on like one hand how many times I've slept through the night in 4 years. It's not good. God has been so good to me. in it and getting me through it, but it's kind of like, okay,
like, I'm tired.
We got to move on from this. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to call like every single ENT in town. No one could see us until February. And I was well, with obstructive sleep apnea, typically they have to remove tonsils and adenoids. And so that's not going to happen the first time that I see the ENT. That's going to be scheduled out probably a couple more months. Mm-hmm. And so I just start praying. I was like, God, there's literally nothing that I can do. I have called every single ENT in the area. And so I started praying. I started calling on everyone that I knew to pray. I text like 20 different people. You know, I was just like, we need to get in sooner. You have to. And that small group, that Sunday, I shared it with the small group. I'm still very new in the small group. I don't know a lot of the people. And it's the holiday season, so people are coming and going. Like one week, the room was like full. And I was like, who are half of you people? And like, none of you know me. And now I feel like a weirdo because I'm like actually talking. And you're like, who is this new chick who just like just
dumping everything?
Who thinks that she can talk? That's my overanalyzing is like, they're all thinking so much about me. They're like, we did not come to the small group to talk about you. And so there's a man in the group that I knew was a doctor, but I know nothing about him as a doctor. Well, after I share that prayer request, he's like, hey, come talk to me afterwards. I might know some people. And so he is a pediatric oncology surgeon, so like children with cancer, but he actually knows a couple pediatric ENTs in the area.
That's awesome.
And he was like, give me your information. I'm going to call around and see if I can grease the wheels. And I was like, okay. The next morning, so Monday morning before 8 a.m., he's like, hey, this doctor is going to see you next week.
That's awesome. Join a small group, people.
Awesome. And so we have already seen him. We are on the surgery schedule before any of the other ENTs would have been able to see us for the first time.
That's awesome. And you don't know what's God's working in his life. You know, I always, like you said, God's always working two sides. Like he could have been, well, we don't know. I'm not even going to like put it out there. Of like,
well, it was funny. Like
what's that he's been into, unless he said it.
He even told me, he was like, the next morning when he texted me, he's like, we almost didn't go to small group. He's like, we had a lot going on, but I knew that I needed to go.
That's awesome.
I'm really glad that you, she went.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's so cool because it's just like God is so intentional with us. And it was just the moment where there was nothing I could do. There was nothing that I could do. I had no connections with a pediatric ENT. I had none. I already had one and he couldn't see us until February. But, you know, I had no pull to be like, come on, dude.
When you said that it's so cool, like God is so intentional with us, what came to mind was, and prayer is just our response to that. Prayer is recognizing his intentionality in our lives. And it for me, you know, as we're having this conversation, that's been my prayer journey. I know we joked about like, we're just going to change the topic of this, but it's, I think sometimes it's not so much of like, for me, when I think of it is breaking away the idea of like leveling up type thing. It's just either you're talking to him or you're not. And you start looking for different ways and different things and you start realizing he is ever present. I think of Psalm 139, where when the psalmist says, whether I ascend to the heights of heights or the deepest of lows, like you are there. There's nowhere I can go where I'm away from you. And I find great comfort that because that includes our thoughts, that includes our emotions, that includes physically where we are, everything. And not only does it apply to me, but it applies to my children or my loved ones. And, you know, when I grew up hearing those sermons about, you know, backslidden Christians and, you know, loved ones that are so far away. But just because your loved one is far away from you doesn't mean that they're far away from the Lord. Yeah. And just because you can't be there with them for different reasons, like God is there with them. And in prayer just helps me to recognize that He is there. And while I'm where I'm at, I remember I was praying about a situation and it was, I didn't know if I should pursue this individual or not. Like I was really torn. And the Lord just gave me the example of like, cause I was like, well, is this the case of like, go out and leave the 99 to look for the one? But then when I look at the story of the prodigal son, like the dad stayed home, but when he was home, he stayed home, but he had dinner ready. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if I was supposed to go out and search for the one or was, and it was just like, but that in of itself, when God was like, yeah, I'm bigger than that, Leah, stop overanalyzing. Since you're obviously tired right now and you're at the end of yourself and not so nice things are coming out of your mouth, you should probably just sit at home for a little bit and it's okay. And I love like, just so the journey of like prayer for me, my heart and what in my passion about this is breaking away from the formality of thinking like I need to pray morning, noon and night. Although the psalmist does talks about that. I think the concept is praying without ceasing. And it can be like waking up. All right, Lord. Oh man, I'm awake. Are you? Oh yeah. You that keep Israel neither slumbers or sleep. So what are we doing today? Like that's a prayer. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't have to be this drawn out, but then it can be. And I love, as we're sharing these stories, I think that's exactly what we're saying is that it's not so much a, that's what it means to be organic. It's not a step one, step two, step three, mm-hmm. although that has its place, but who reads directions? Like seriously? Yeah.
I think so much of our Christian walk is just being intentional.
Mm-hmm. Seeking Him.
I think one of the coolest things that I did kind of when I was like, I want that. I want a deep prayer life,
mm-hmm.
was our dishwasher was broken for a while. And so I was hand washing everything. And I called it, y'all, I have to have names for everything for some reason, but I would call it pair with prayer. And so whenever I was washing my dishes, I made sure to be praying through my checklist of my friends and what they needed prayer for.
Oh, that's cool.
And so just having something that just, okay, when I'm at this place, this is what I'm doing.
Really cool practical perspective. Yeah.
And
I did that with my laundry.
Yeah.
I mean, and, yeah, over my family, you know, who's ever.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one too.
Pray for my husband, you know, my kids' underwear. Please, Lord, help him learn how to wipe properly.
Yes.
But yeah, I love that. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that it's just being intentional about it and finding. And I feel like it's so funny. There's that verse in James that talks about draw near to the Lord and He will draw near mm-hmm. to you. And I always just, the picture that I get is like, there's this rope between me and God. And I take one or two little pulls and then He just like does this huge pull.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's just so funny because He's just like, if you just take one step, I'm going to take my one step, but it's infinitely bigger than yours.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come meet you where you're at. And I see it so often. I see it in Bible reading and prayer mm-hmm. and serving. It's just like when you just take that one step of obedience
and faith. Yeah.
It's incredible what God will do with that.
Absolutely.
You know, if you just take that one step, if you just be intentional about it and figure out like, God, how can I grow closer to you? What does mm-hmm. that look like for me?
And even just asking that question mm-hmm. is evidence that you are mm-hmm. growing closer to Him, because you're coming from a place to where you weren't asking that to now you are asking that. And then as you start to grow and you learn and like, oh, He's already here. And you start, the Holy Spirit will start to bring things into remembrance. I love going through John chapter 14, and I think 14, 15, and 16.
Oh, is that where Jesus is praying?
Yeah.
And He's praying over us.
Yes. And he's talking to the disciples and like, you know, they're like, you know, God, what do I do with this? And he's just talking with them about, mm-hmm. I'm going to send the comforter. He's going to teach you. He's going to guide you. He's going to comfort you. And he's just giving. And then you start to sit through those passages and it's just like, oh, this is about me. Like he is teaching me. He is guiding me. He is teaching me to pray. Like, oh, okay. All right. You got this, God? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, just, and it's almost kind of like I'm the person that I tease my mentor, call her my mentor, it, like sometimes because I will sit there. I remember certain on different occasions, like when we first got together, we'd be sitting on her back porch and my mind would just be going. I'd just be talking. Blah, 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 blah. Can you tell? I mean, hence podcast. And I remember one time I looked over at her and she's just sitting there drinking her little, you know, green tea with her honey or her cinnamon tea or her coffee. And she's just got this face on her that's just like, Leah, would you just be quiet and just enjoy being outside? I love her so much. And I feel like, yeah, that's how God is. With not that we can't share our hearts, but sometimes we get so busy about everything that's going on around us. And we forget that God literally made creation. Mm-hmm. For us, the people in our lives that we meet, and we get so busy looking at all, trying to like pinpoint all the things that's wrong, mm-hmm. that we miss the importance of his beauty. And I think prayer is another space where we get to acknowledge that, like going back to that image of going into the throne room of God, like I rush in there with all my cares and woes and da 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 da, and look at this picture I drew, and oh, by the way, I went to church and I didn't even talk and I didn't say something jaded and all these things, and I'm just going, and then all of a sudden, like I noticed and I recognize where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm in the throne room of God. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that probably isn't really that important.
Right.
Wow. And then at that point, God, for me in those spaces, it's like God looks at me and he smiles. And sometimes he wipes away tears because I'm really frustrated and upset. And before I can even lift my hands up for him to pick me up, he just picks me up and sits me on his lap. And if you're looking at that passage in Revelation 4 and you're looking at, you see everything, like this is his throne. And it's just, and then I get this picture because he's blessed me with the opportunity to have children and to nurse my children. And I think about like when I sit there and I hold my child who's nursing.
Mm-hmm.
Not a care in the world, just asleep. That's how he is with us.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and then I think about like those moments, like right now, you know, I'm thankful that I don't have to hold my child right now because it frees me up to do this. But like when my child throws a fit because he's being removed from my arms, that's how like we are growing to be with him. Lord, remove not my face from your presence. Like, it just captures all of that. And that's my heart with looking at these things of like spiritual disciplines and what we can do through this new year. And I like to think of it as it's not a technicality. What was the word I said? Mm-hmm. Technicalitized.
Yeah.
it's the organics. It's the relationships. Yeah. And just drink your tea with him or whatever it is that you drink.
Yeah. Know?
Pour him a cup. I think, I don't know, I'm not too familiar with Jewish tradition, but isn't it like when they would set the table, they would set a place for Elijah, but it was an empty seat, or they would keep an empty seat? Do you know?
Oh, I think so.
What if, I'm just now thinking about it as we're talking about this, what if I did that like at the dinner table? Maybe that would invite me to actually have dinner at the table.
Oh gosh. We got a bunch of seats for Jesus at our table.
Yeah, but just like setting out a plate for him or just doing something intentional. Come and sit with us. You know, I mean, we pray for him to bless our food all the time. Why not offer him some food?
Mm-hmm.
Just the intentionality and loving how he's so intentional in our lives and sharing that with each other, sharing our journeys of learning those moments when he, like those moments when we realize that he cares, that he listens, mm-hmm. that he's intentional, and we try the spirits, because not everything does come from him. Like it might be because you're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you've watched a lot of infomercials and it's probably not him that's telling you to get that $20 Snuggly.
Yeah. That was a sign. And it's just, again, once you start, you just can't stop because you see God's goodness, because he's faithful mm-hmm. in his promises, you know, and I believe it's in 1 John. It talks about when you pray, even if you don't receive the answer that you think that you're supposed to get, you can trust that God hears it and you Absolutely. Can trust that God is doing what's best for you. And I think that that's so beautiful because so often, you know, we're like, God, I prayed for this for so long and you never answered. And he's like, that's not what I had for you.
Right. Right.
And again, I was praying about being able to stay home with my son during 2020. And God was already kind of working things out, but because of my own anxiety, I was like, God, are you sure you got this? Are you sure that you got this? And it was almost like him getting that stern fatherness with me.
Oh, I love
like
it.
Firm it. Parenting. And he was like, I told you I got that. You need to be praying for the spiritual warfare on your husband's Navy ship right now.
Mm.
Because it's super intense right now. And you need to focus on that. And so it just wasn't answered in my time. But God's timing is perfect.
Yeah, it is.
So it was just, you know, the Bible says that he disciplines his children. And so he disciplined me in that moment. He was like, listen, girl, I heard you the first 30 times. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you should stop praying for whatever you're praying for. But when God tells you, okay, just have faith that I'm working this out.
He's and I've already told an you. Right.
Exactly. You don't have to keep double back. Going back and back Go and saying, faith, like, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure you got this? Are you sure you got it, God? Because like, if you need me to help you out a little bit, let me know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll hold conversation for that. Like he will. Mm-hmm. I think of, I love this illustration because this is all of us. So this isn't to knock somebody that may be struggling with this, but this is all of us. But think about the Israelites. You know, they could have just gone straight into the promised land.
Yeah.
But they decided to be like, are you sure? Are you sure? So they had that conversation for 40 years in the desert. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But even in that, God still worked and showed them amazing things. And I think they're just holding space for that. But I'm totally like, you would think like I like being in the desert because I'm so hard headed.
Well, as we close out, let's talk about just a couple. We've talked about a few. So we're not telling you how to technically pray, but if you want to be intentional about your prayer life, here are a couple of things that we do or we've seen other people do. So we talked about the pair with prayer, you know, find a task that you do every day. Maybe it's gardening. Maybe it's cooking. Maybe it's, you know, whatever it is. I also like walking. To go on walking.
You're exercising yes. person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so great to do prayer walks. Just find something and you don't even have to pray the whole time, you know. I feel like when I'm walking, it's like in and out of prayer, you know?
Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be such a formal, yeah. like, dear God, da 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 da. Like, I just like, oh, wow, Lord, that tree is very beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And so just pick something and commit to praying during that time, even if it's just for a few minutes, you know? I think that that's a good one.
Writing a letter. That's one of my go-tos when I'm really upset or frustrated about something. Like, I used to do, like, sometimes I still do, like, brain dump stuff. But sometimes when, like, last August, my husband left pretty quickly for 3 months to go work. And that was really hard for me. So I got a journal and I thought for sure I was going to fill it with all my anger, but it didn't. And it was really cool to look back now and see how it changed. But I just directed, I was like, God, I'm so angry. And I just started talking to him about all my frustration, all my fears. And so I wrote a letter out to him. So not to my husband, because I know sometimes people have different ways to do it. And I'm going to say it's like a wrong or right way, but I started it just, let me talk to the Lord about it. And I found that it was a different space of versus writing to a letter to my husband, you know, like if you have an angry email, you know, write it as an email, but don't send it. And then reread, you know, something like that. So I know that's something that has helped me live for something that's really pressing or more of a deeper space of thought is writing a letter to the Lord. And if you want to get more ceremonial with it, you can burn it afterwards. Or, I mean, you can, I've done that with some stuff, just kind of like, okay, Lord, this is legit in your hands.
Yeah.
Like I'm done with this.
Mm-hmm.
But writing a letter, it's a lot better. I wouldn't recommend like doing like a Facebook post, but I mean, if Jesus was your friend on Facebook, wouldn't you just DM him?
There you go. I would say praying with other people, praying with other mm-hmm. believers, you know, get a group together.
Open. Mm-hmm. And being open with other people praying with you.
Yeah. One thing that I really liked about something that I had discovered about myself that I think is cool to share with other people in that praying with others so much is I really found that your spiritual giftings really shapes how you pray for others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. And it's just a deeper level of your gift to another Christian. So one of my biggest gifts is exhortation, and exhortation is using the Bible to encourage people. So when I pray for people, a lot of it is scripture to encourage them. I found that that's really cool because they might not have that gifting, or they might not have thought of that Bible verse during their struggle. And yeah. So I think that it's really cool that as you pray for other people out loud, which I know that that's daunting to people too. I don't know if me and Leah have that problem because we obviously don't have a problem talking, but
yeah.
some people do. But I think that when you kind of can break through that and realize no one is judging you about prayer. None of us have ever judged someone on their prayer. And if you have, then you need to reevaluate yourself.
Well, I think of it too is like just remember who you're praying to. Like, mm-hmm. would you, if you had, this is a horrible illustration or example to try to even convey the depths of this. But if you had the winning lottery ticket and you only had 5 minutes to bring it to the closest gas station to you and you were wearing your pajamas, would you change your clothes? Like, you wouldn't care. Like, you'd like, I have mm-hmm. the winning lottery ticket. So it's like, I feel like with talking to the Lord is so much more than that. And I understand it, like, you're scared, like, different things and people judging. Well, you know, it's just, they don't know either. They should come mm-hmm. to you and unapologetically just talking to them. It'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So don't be scared of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of times it's the devil speaking lies to you. Because again, I don't know, I've never judged someone for their prayers. Maybe people do that. But whenever I have women who are like, I can't pray out loud, I'm like, have you ever judged someone for prayer? Do you think anyone in this room would honestly judge you for your prayer? No? Okay. Well, then that's a lie from the devil.
Right. I think about, I don't know if we have time for this one, but you can edit this out if you want to. But my daughter, I remember listening to her praying one day. I'd asked her to pray for dinner. So she's praying and she's probably like 5 or 6 this time. And she starts praying about how it was one of these prayers. Thank you for the food. And Jesus, if you could just tell my dad about the pink Barbie that we saw at the store, because I really like it. And I just love that Barbie so much. And I just, Dad, you remember which one it was? Yeah, that one. Lord, if you can just tell my daddy to get that one, because that's the one that I wanted. And like, she goes on about this and part of me wanted to like interrupt her, like, oh my gosh, you know, and then I stopped and the Holy Spirit just stopped me. And it was like, Leah, cause your prayers aren't any different. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. And Lord's like, this is my relationship with her. Like, aww. Let her. And I think that's something that I want to even encourage as I'm encouraging my children to pray and develop that is that. You can talk to God about anything and everything. Yes. Like, I don't even, part of me, I understand. I grew up, my mom is Filipino. You know, with Filipino culture, there's a lot with intentional aspects of respect mm-hmm. of how we talk and interact with each other. And so that's something that's kind of fresh in my head when I'm in certain demographics of like, don't be disrespectful, don't be disrespectful. But with the Lord, you know, as a child, yes, there are aspects of like how we should come to him. Like the Bible says, you know, don't come to the Lord thinking that you shall, you know, you can ask anything and just da 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 da. Like this mm-hmm. attitude, this arrogance. But outside of that, like we can go to him and be direct with him and share. And I don't want to get in the way of that with my children, because that's their own relationship with them. So if you feel like people are judging you and you're getting caught up with other people, think, well, that's between them and the Lord. Yeah. But you're just talking to your Heavenly Father.
Exactly.
Who cares what other people think? And I hope we can get all that with this.
Which I think too, that's another practical aspect that we can do, is invite our children into prayer. So your daughter prayed for the Barbie doll. We pray for our chickens almost every day, because I ask my son when we wake up, who do you want to pray for? And it's usually his cousin and his mom and his dad and maybe his grandparents. But every day he wants to pray for the chickens, and he has specific ones that he wants to pray for that day.
Oh, I love
and,
it.
And
you know, there's a scripture for that.
For praying for chickens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in Proverbs. It says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast.
There you go. So he has that scripture memorized already. But I think inviting your children into prayer, we can be grateful. You know, sometimes I think it's just silly to be like, what do we want to thank God for today? Let's thank God for kangaroos and owls and bugs. And, you know, taking it past just the mealtime.
Absolutely. Thank you for the dirty dishes that this meal is about to create.
Yeah. Yes. And even I like to invite him in when I'm having a difficult time. Okay, take a deep breath. Can you help mommy pray for her attitude?
Yes, that's a daily, that's an every moment thing.
Yes. And so inviting him into that and teaching him to pray for me, but also teaching him that when he is struggling, that that's where you go. Okay, mm-hmm. When mommy is frustrated and she's at the end of her rope, where does she go? She goes mm-hmm. to God. And what does she look like after she does that?
Absolutely. And they pick that up. If you mm-hmm. have young children, they pick that up so quickly. And it's so rewarding, because when it does start coming out, when those sprouts start sprouting, it's a different type. I think about in Proverbs when it says her children rise up and call her blessed, or mm-hmm. like when you see the promises of that, like it was 2 weeks before my husband came home from that long trip. I dislike snakes. And there was a snake at our back door, and it was, I was barefoot. My kids are barefoot. And it was like right by the door to go in through the doors into the house. And I was like, okay. And I immediately was like, okay, listen here, snake, you have no dominion here. You have power. I like, get my children into the house, and I'm standing there. I close the door. My daughter runs off, and then my son is just standing there watching me. And then all of a sudden, I hear my four-year-old going, okay, Jesus, just help my mommy. She can kill the snake. And mommy, Jesus is going to give you power and strength. In Jesus' name, and amen. And that just kind of like, oh, he gets it. All mm-hmm. right, you heard him, snake. Get to moving. And I killed it. And we won't talk about how big the snake was, but big enough.
Hey, I'm with you on snakes. God cursed them in the garden. I ain't messing around with them. So
yes. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that's not a crazy phobia or anything. So yeah, inviting your children in, you know, praying with your spouse, just finding ways to be intentional and committing to those. And guys, I'm going to make you a promise. If you are intentional about your prayer life, whew, you're not going to have to be crazy intentional for long.
Absolutely.
You're going to look forward to it, and you're going to be excited about it, and you're going to...
It's going to become natural. Pray. It's going to be organic.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to become organic. It's just like any relationship. It's like when you go on a first date, it's awkward. But, you know, now, you know, mm-hmm. when you're with your boyfriend or your spouse or whoever for such a long time, it's not awkward. It's comfortable.
Sometimes it's hard to remember. Like, I don't even remember struggling so much. Like, that's right. Kind of, like, I don't know what it's like to, well, yeah, I still remember it was like not having kids, but yeah, there's an organic of it. So where like when someone asks you, hey, what's your prayer journey? It's kind of like, well, let me just tell you all these crazy stories about how mm-hmm. God is just so good and present. And
yeah. And it really is just saying, I'm not in control, but I know who is.
I will say too, though, with prayer is like, if you really are struggling and you're just like, I just don't know what to pray. I just don't know that. Well, that's a good thing to talk about. Lord, I just don't know what to pray. The disciples asked that. They said, Lord, Lord, teach us how to pray. That's a prayer. And then going, moving from that, just going through scripture, the Psalms are one of my favorites. Just there's so many prayers in that. But then if you're like me, you'll be like reading and like, well, I don't have, you know, armies around about me that, and it's hard to relate. So just keep going, but you can pray through the Psalms. You can pray through different portions of the scripture. There's one in Ephesians. I think that's going to Colossians 1 and starting in verse 9, Paul says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might be able to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
And that is our prayer for y'all, that you guys would just grow closer and know God deeper, and that you guys would see him in that way. And we really hope that this helped you guys. If you have any more questions about prayer or anything that we talked about, just reach out and we would love to speak with you guys. So let's close this out in prayer and then we're going to jump off. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for the gift of prayer. And God, we just ask that all of those who are listening who desire to grow closer to you in this way, God, just give them fresh ideas. And God, just help them to see that you are there and ready to hear their prayers and answer those prayers. Lord, we just thank you that you are a good Father who loves us and cares for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
At Truth Rising, we believe prayer is powerful. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you. May God be gracious to you and bless you and make his face shine upon you. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you will never fully understand it, and you may be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. May Christ make his home in your heart through faith. May your love abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might, and may you be filled with joy. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And I say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.